on to NBA Recap. Today is Wednesday, April 13th, and we had two games on in the NBA last night. It was the first round of play-in games. We had the 7-8 matchup in the East, with the Brooklyn Nets defeating the Cleveland Cavaliers, the 7-seed Nets advancing to the playoffs, where they will face the Boston Celtics in the 2-7 matchup, and the Cavaliers will now face the winner of the 9-10 game. And then in the Western Conference, we had another 7-seed defeating the 8-seed. It was the Timberwolves winning over the Clippers 109-104, so they will now face the Memphis Grizzlies in the 2-7 matchup in the Western Conference, whereas the Clippers will face the winner of the Spurs-Pelicans game. So we will break down both of those games in just a moment, but first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so we start off today in Brooklyn, where the Nets defeated the Cavaliers 115-108. The Nets secure their place in the playoffs in the 7th seed against the Boston Celtics in the 2-7 matchup, and the Cavaliers will now face the winner of the Hawks-Hornets game for the 8th seed. So the Nets getting a much-needed victory here, and they were dominant early on. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were controlling this game, specifically Kyrie. He was perfect throughout the first half. He was like 9-for-9 from the field with 20 points in the first half. He ended up going 12 of 15 from the field. He was just incredible. He had 34 points and 12 assists to lead the way for the Nets, and KD ended up with 25 points and 11 assists, and then they also got 18 from Bruce Brown in the starting lineup. Whereas the Cavaliers were led by Darius Garland, who was incredible. He had 34 points on 13 of 24 shooting. He had 3 three-pointers as well. And then they also got 19 from Evan Mobley, the rookie, and 14 points and 13 rebounds off the bench from the veteran Kevin Love. And it was a valiant effort from the Cavaliers, who were playing without Jarrett Allen. There was a question about whether he would be able to return or not with that thumb injury, but he did not play in this game. And they were, as a result, struggling early on to contain the Nets. Specifically, the first quarter was all Brooklyn. It was 40-20 after the first, and they pretty much maintained that lead throughout the majority of the second quarter. They had chipped away a little bit. It was 57-43 at the half. So a 14-point advantage for the Nets after the Cavaliers were chipping away at that lead just a little bit. But Kyrie ended the half with an incredible buzzer-beating fadeaway jumper to give himself a perfect 9-for-9 half with the 20 points. So he was just incredible in this game, specifically early on. And then the third quarter was much the same. The Nets were able to maintain that lead, about a 10-to-20-point lead throughout the third quarter. But then the fourth is where the Cavaliers finally started to officially make their comeback. They were chipping away once again at the end of the third. But then in the beginning of the fourth quarter is when they really started to catch up to Brooklyn. The Nets' offense was stagnating at the beginning of the fourth quarter. They went scoreless for a few minutes there, and the Cavaliers were able to not exactly tie the game up, but they got to within double digits, and then they kept chipping away further and further throughout the fourth quarter, and it was just back and forth down the stretch. There was a couple of clutch buckets. Obviously, Kevin Durant was not quite as hot early in the game, but he was on fire late. He had a couple of back-to-back jumpers in the fourth quarter with 4 minutes to go. He hit a 16-footer, and then a couple of seconds later, he hit a second 16-footer back-to-back, and that was really clutch, giving the Nets a 10-point advantage once again. It was 103-93 with 3:38 left on the clock. And then from there on out, like I said, it was back and forth. The Cavaliers were doing their best to get back into this game, but the Brooklyn Nets just always had an answer. The Cavaliers' problem is that they just couldn't stop the Nets on the other end. They could score themselves, but then they couldn't prevent the Nets from getting easy buckets. Nick Claxton had an alley-oop dunk off of a Bruce Brown assist with 54 seconds left on the clock. It was an emphatic dunk that gave the Nets, once again, an 8-point lead. And then Darius Garland came back with a layup, but then once again, Bruce Brown gets an easy 3-footer with 21 seconds left on the clock off of a nice Kyrie Irving assist. He drove the lane and dumped it off to Brown, who got the easy bucket. And so, like I said, it was just too easy for the Nets to stave off the Cavaliers down the stretch. And then another clutch bucket from Darius Garland. He had a 3-pointer with 18 seconds left off of a Rajon Rondo assist. That one cut the deficit to 5. It was 109-104. But then throughout the last couple of seconds, the fouling began, and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving hit 6 consecutive free throws in the last stretch of this game. And so despite the Cavs' best efforts, Darius Garland hit another layup, and then Evan Mobley hit a 2-pointer as well, but they just could never really catch the Nets, who led this entire game, and it all started in that incredible first quarter. So really good, resilient win here for the Nets to stave off the comeback attempt by the Cavaliers, and a good showing for Cleveland. There was some speculation that they might just be dominated in this game with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant firing on all cylinders, and they absolutely were in this game, combining for 59 points. And as a result, the Nets coming into the game were 9.5-point favorites, but the Cavaliers definitely covered that. And they came out looking like a pretty good contender to go toe-to-toe with either of the teams to come out of that 9-10 game, the Hawks or the Hornets. It's really going to be a toss-up, in my opinion, with the Cavaliers having home court advantage as to who gets that final seed, the 8th seed, to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. We shall see. That game is going to be on Friday, but like I said, the Cavaliers played very well. Evan Mobley, the rookie, was solid. Darius Garland really continued his stellar play. I was interested to see whether or not his all-star season would continue into the playoffs or whether he would start to, you know, wilt in the spotlight, but he did not at all. He was incredible. So it's unfortunate for the Cavaliers that they now have to play one more game, but they definitely played well, and I actually feel better about them beating either the Hawks or the Hornets now than I did prior to this loss. Overall, they were ice cold from the field, the Cavaliers. They were 44% from the field, but they shot the three ball pretty well. They were 34% from beyond the arc, which is actually better than the Nets. They were just 32% from three, but it was the field goal percentage overall for Brooklyn that was just incredible. Thanks to that mid-range shooting from Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, they were 53% from the field. But otherwise, it was pretty close. The turnovers, the rebounding, all pretty similar. Even the free throws were not too dissimilar. Actually, the Cavaliers had the edge. They were 85% on 20 attempts from the line, whereas the Nets were just 66% from the free throw line. So that's something to work on going forwards. And Andre Drummond and Nick Claxton were the big culprits in that regard. Drummond going 2 of 5 from the free throw line, Claxton going 1 of 6. So anyways, with this victory, the Nets now will play the Celtics in the 2-7 matchup in the Eastern Conference playoffs, an enticing matchup with Kyrie Irving facing his former team, and there's been some chirping from Jaylen Brown and Kyrie already, so it's going to be really interesting to see that matchup unfold, especially in light of the injury status of Robert Williams and Ben Simmons. Will Rob Williams return? Probably not, which definitely impacts the Celtics' chances. Will Ben Simmons return? Also probably not, but that would definitely be a boon for the Nets, so it's going to be really fascinating to watch that series, and it could definitely be an upset or it could be a dominant Celtics victory. We shall see. And as for the Cavaliers, with this loss, as we touched on, they will now face the winner of the 9-10 matchup, the Hawks or the Hornets, on Friday. And so anyways, we can move on now to the box score. And the Cavaliers were led, as I mentioned, by Darius Garland. He was really incredible. His all-star season this year was on full display in this game. He had 34 points in 39 minutes. He was 13 of 24 from the field, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, and 5 of 6 from the free throw line. So efficient scoring all around for Garland. And he also had 1 rebound, 5 assists, 2 steals. Now, he did have 6 turnovers, and he was negative 11 in the plus-minus, which was the starter's low. But nonetheless, really solid showing for Garland. And like I said, he acquitted himself very well. He did not shy away from the moment at all. And I think going forwards, he's going to be a really impactful postseason player throughout his career. Elsewhere in the starting lineup, they got 19 points from the rookie, Evan Mobley. And a lot of those same accolades that I just heaped upon Garland could probably be said about Mobley as well. He was 9 of 13 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks. You really couldn't ask for much more from Mobley in his postseason debut, really anchoring that defense for the Cavaliers with no Jarrett Allen. So good stuff for the two young players for the Cavaliers, Garland and Mobley. They also got 13 points from Lauri Markkanen, but he was a little bit less efficient, 5 of 14 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 3 steals, 12 points for Caris LeVert in 40 minutes. He was also not super efficient, 4 of 12 from the field. He did have 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 steals, though. And Isaac Okoro, the sophomore, rounding out the starting lineup, was also not efficient in the slightest. He was 0 of 3. He didn't score whatsoever, and he just had 1 rebound and 1 assist. So, pretty disappointing output from Okoro in just 13 minutes. But off the bench for the Cavaliers, they got 14 points from Kevin Love in 29 minutes, the veteran big man. He was 5 of 11 from the field, 3 of 4 from beyond the arc. He had a couple of clutch three-pointers in this game, and he had 13 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal as well. And he was plus 10 in the plus-minus, which was by far the team high. Really good performance from Love. And then they also got 7 points from Lamar Stevens in just 7 minutes. He was 2 of 3 from the field. 7 points as well for the veteran backup point guard Rajon Rondo. He had 3 rebounds, 9 assists, and 2 points from Jetty Osman in 21 minutes, but he was also ice cold, going 0 of 4 from the field. But as for the Brooklyn Nets, they were of course led by Kyrie Irving. He was incredible in this game. He ended up 12 of 15 from the field, but he started out 12 of 12, incredibly. He cooled off a bit late, but nonetheless, an incredible showing for Kyrie. He had 34 points, 12 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 steal. He's also 3 of 6 from 3 and a perfect 7 of 7 from the free throw line. So you really can't ask for much more than this from Kyrie Irving, and I wouldn't expect him to go 12 of 15 from the field in every game against the Boston Celtics, but they got to be looking at this with a little bit of trepidation as he looked pretty unstoppable in this one. And then they also got 25 points from Kevin Durant. Like I said, he was not exactly on fire early in this game, but he really came on strong late, especially in the fourth quarter, hitting those clutch back-to-back jumpers. He ended up 9 of 16 from the field and 6 of 6 from the free throw line. He had 5 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. He was really solid defensively. He had a nice block on Kevin Love, and so really good stuff for Kevin Durant, who was also plus 16 in the plus-minus, which was tied for the team high, alongside Bruce Brown. Brown in the starting lineup, he was incredible as well. He had 18 points in 40 minutes. He was 8 of 19 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3, but he stuffed the stat sheet with 9 rebounds, 8 assists, and 3 steals. And like I said, plus 16 in the plus-minus, really good stuff from all three of those guys, Durant, Irving, and Bruce Brown. And then Andre Drummond in the starting lineup, the big man, he had 16 points in just 19 minutes. So the scoring was on full display for Drummond. He was 7 of 11 from the field, but he was only 2 of 5 from the free throw line, and he had a couple of disappointing defensive possessions. He just had 1 steal and no blocks. He was plus 9 in the plus minus, but still, I would say he was outplayed by Nick Claxton off the bench. We'll get to him in just a second. But rounding out the starting lineup was Seth Curry, and he was ice cold returning from that ankle injury. He was 0 of 4 from the field in 34 minutes. He did not score at all, and he just had 2 rebounds. So I don't know if his presence was helpful for the Nets or not, but hopefully going forwards, he can continue to rehab that ankle and perhaps provide a little bit more value than the 0 points that he gave the Nets in this one. But off the bench for Brooklyn, they got 13 points from the aforementioned Nick Claxton, the big man. He was incredible in this game. Despite his 1 of 6 shooting from the free throw line, he was perfect from the field overall, 6 of 6 in 29 minutes. He had 13 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, and 5 blocks. He was really springy and defensively active. He was, like I said, definitely better than Andre Drummond in this one. I don't know if he's going to be inserted into the starting lineup or not by Steve Nash, but Claxton just looked really good coming off the bench and providing that defensive presence against those bench units for the Cavaliers, especially Kevin Love. And then they also got 6 points from Patty Mills, the backup point guard. He was 2 of 5 from beyond the arc in 17 minutes, and he had 5 rebounds. 3 points for the other backup point guard, Goran Dragic, in just 10 minutes. And the only rookie to see the court for Brooklyn was Kessler Edwards. He played 8 minutes, and he was 0 of 5 from the field in that time. He did nothing else in the box score. No rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, turnovers, free throw attempts. He was just 0 of 4 from 3, 0 of 5 from the field overall. So not the best representation for the Nets rookies by Edwards in this game. And I don't know if that's enough evidence for Steve Nash to excise him from the lineup going forwards or not. We shall see. But he was also the team low, negative 10 in the plus minus. All right, next up we can move on to Minnesota, where the Timberwolves defeated the LA Clippers 109-104. The Timberwolves will now move into 7th place in the Western Conference playoff picture to face the Memphis Grizzlies, a juicy matchup there, the two young, exciting teams going head-to-head in the 2-7 matchup. And then the LA Clippers, with this loss, now fall into the 8th seed or worse, as they will play the winner of the Spurs-Pelicans game to see who gets that 8th seed for the pleasure of going against the Phoenix Suns in that first-round matchup. We shall see how they fare in that one, but this was a really exciting game down the stretch. Paul George, unsurprisingly, led the way for the Clippers. He had 34 points on 10 of 24 shooting. He had 6 three-pointers. But it was Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell for the Minnesota Timberwolves who led the way. It was a disappointing game for Karl-Anthony Towns. He only had 11 points on 3 of 11 shooting, and then he fouled out of the game like halfway through the fourth quarter. So it was the sophomore Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell who carried the team. Russell had 29 points on 10 of 18 shooting, and Edwards had 30 points on 10 of 21 shooting. So incredible stuff from those two, leading this plucky Timberwolves team to a victory over the much more experienced veteran LA Clippers. They were obviously exuberant after the game, the Timberwolves. Patrick Beverley was especially happy defeating his former team, the LA Clippers. He was chirping at Steve Ballmer and other Clippers fans in the crowd throughout the game, and then afterwards he was just overcome with emotion. as were many of the other Timberwolves. In fact, if you haven't seen it yet, the Inside the NBA crew on TNT did a really funny video where they overdubbed the Timberwolves celebrations with Queens We Are the Champions. And it's pretty funny. But nonetheless, it was an exciting win, and it came down to the wire. It was actually the Clippers who were leading throughout the majority of the game. They had outscored the Timberwolves in the first quarter, 26-20, and then they maintained a lead throughout most of the second quarter, and then it waxed and waned a little bit at the end of the second, beginning of the third. It was actually the Timberwolves who were leading at one point in the third quarter. But then the Clippers reestablished a lead by the end of the third. They had outscored the Timberwolves 33-25 in that third period. And so they had a double-digit lead at one point early in the fourth quarter. Reggie Jackson knocked down a clutch three-pointer off of a Terrence Mann assist with 8:54 left on the clock, giving the Clippers a 10-point lead. It was 93-83. So it looked like at that point that the Clippers' experience and veteran savvy might carry the day, but that was not the case at all. The Timberwolves were very resilient. Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell, like I said, were clutch down the stretch, and they ultimately helped the Timberwolves pull out the victory. Like I said, Karl-Anthony Towns fouled out of this game like halfway through the fourth quarter, so it was Naz Reid in there. He had a bucket with 5:16 left on the clock that cut the deficit to 1, and then D'Angelo Russell followed that up with a clutch three-pointer with 4:40 left on the clock. That one finally gave the Timberwolves their first lead of the fourth quarter. They went up by 2, 97-95, and then finally Anthony Edwards followed that one up with 4:02 left on the clock with an emphatic dunk. He drove the lane. There was very little resistance from the Clippers in the interior, and he slammed it home and gave the Timberwolves a 4-point advantage. It was 99-95. So those three buckets in the middle of the fourth, the two-pointer from Naz Reid, the three from D'Angelo Russell, and then the dunk from Anthony Edwards, built up a little lead for the Timberwolves, and they were able to hold on to that lead throughout the rest of the game. But it was really exciting down the stretch. It was basically three-pointer after three-pointer from both teams. So starting off with Nick Batum with 3:09 left on the clock, he cut the deficit to 1 for the Clippers with a three-pointer off of a Paul George assist. Then Anthony Edwards comes right back. He hits a three-pointer off of a D'Angelo Russell assist, giving the Timberwolves a 4-point lead again. Then D'Angelo Russell himself hits a three-pointer a couple of seconds later. That one gives the Timberwolves a 6-point advantage, but then Paul George comes back and he responds with a three-pointer himself. That one with 1:24 left on the clock, and that one once again cut it to 3. So it was just back-to-back-to-back-to-back clutch three-pointers from both teams. But then down the stretch, it was a little bit less exciting because it was just free throws from the Timberwolves, and they were able to hold on to their lead. So first, Anthony Edwards knocked down 2 consecutive free throws with 38 seconds to go, re-extending that lead to 5. Then the Clippers failed to convert. Paul George missed a three-pointer. They sent Patrick Beverley next to the free throw line, and he actually split. He made 1 of 2, but then he redeemed himself immediately afterwards with a steal with 22 seconds left. The Clippers were coming down trying to cut into that deficit, but Beverley comes up with a really clutch and emblematic steal for him, and it was kind of the nail in the coffin, or at least it felt like it, because then they sent Anthony Edwards once again to the free throw line. And like Beverly, he only hit 1 of 2, but at that point, the lead was 7. It was 108-101, and there was just like 20 seconds left. Then Paul George actually responded with a three-pointer with 13 seconds on the clock, but it was really too little too late at that point because that only cut the deficit to 4. And then once again, they sent Malik Beasley to the free throw line. He hit 1 of 2, but it was a 5-point game at that point. And then just to put an exclamation point on this victory, Patrick Beverley grabs the offensive rebound with 3 seconds to go to close this game out. So all in all, a really impressive victory here for this young Timberwolves team. And like I said, they were over the moon after the game, as was the veteran Patrick Beverley. And it was not exactly the cleanest game by either team. It was 43% shooting for both teams. And then the ball handling was a bit sloppy as well. There was 30 combined turnovers. Both teams were really tense early in this game. It was like definitely a playoff atmosphere. But the Timberwolves did have the edge in that regard. They had 13 of the 30 turnovers, whereas the Clippers had 17, which is a bit disappointing for the more veteran team to be turning the ball over so many times. They were also out-rebounded by the Wolves, 39-49, but the Clippers did shoot the three ball very efficiently. They were 45% from beyond the arc, whereas the Timberwolves were 40%. So solid three-point shooting from both teams, but those turnovers really killed the Clippers, as did the rebounding. I would have thought that they would have an advantage in that regard. Reggie Jackson, Paul George both had 7 rebounds, and Zubats had 9, but other than that, it was a bit disappointing. Isaiah Hartenstein, their backup big man off the bench, he only played 7 minutes and had 2 rebounds in that time. Bit of a head-scratcher that Hartenstein only saw the court for 7 minutes, as he was one of the best 6 men all season long coming in off the bench for the Clippers. But nonetheless, despite this loss, they will have one more chance to redeem themselves on Friday against the winner of the Spurs-Pelicans game. The winner of that game on Friday will get the 8th seed, And as for the Timberwolves, this victory gives them the seventh seed. So like I said, they're going to be facing off against the Memphis Grizzlies in the 2-7 matchup. A really exciting series, hopefully. And of course, one last thing before we get to the box score, the Clippers did not cover. They were +3.5 by the time the game started, and they ended up losing by 5. So not only disappointingly losing this game, but not even covering the spread. And I was a bit disappointed by that because at the time that we made our best bets, they were +3, and we took them because I thought at the very least they could keep it close. And they did actually keep it close, but it was just not close enough. So anyways, now we can move on to the box score. And the Clips were led, as I mentioned, by Paul George, who was, in fact, incredible. I said he would need to carry the team in order for them to win this game, and he did. He had 34 points in 41 minutes. He was just not quite efficient enough. 10 of 24 from the field. He was 6 of 12 from the three-point line, though, and he was 8 of 11 from the free throw line, and he had 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals. So really doing a little bit of everything for the Clips, but like I said, just not quite efficient enough. He had a couple of clutch buckets down the stretch, but he also missed a couple of opportunities as well. And then the next leading scorer was Reggie Jackson, but he only had 17 points on 7 of 18 shooting. Once again, solid, but just not quite efficient enough. He was 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, so the three-point shooting was not the problem for the Clips. And Jackson also kind of stuffed the stat sheet with 7 rebounds, 5 assists, but he also had 5 turnovers. And then elsewhere in the starting lineup, they got 12 points from Marcus Morris in 30 minutes. He was 5 of 11 from the field. He had just 1 assist, and that was it in the box score. Zeros across the board otherwise. And then 7 points for the other two starters, Nikola Batum and Ivica Zubac. Batum had 7 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. He was just 2 of 6 from the field. And then Zubac was 2 of 2 from the field for his 7 points, and he also had 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks. And like his counterpart, Karl-Anthony Towns, he also fouled out of this game. As for the bench for the Clippers, they got 16 points from Norman Powell in 27 minutes. He was on fire. 5 of 9 from the field, including 3 three-pointers, and he also had 3 rebounds. And then they got 9 points from Robert Covington. He played 18 minutes, and he had 5 rebounds. 2 points for Terrence Mann. He only saw the court for 15 minutes, though. He had 3 assists, 2 rebounds, and 2 blocks in that time, although he was negative 16 in the plus-minus, which was by far the team low. And then, like I said, Isaiah Hartenstein just saw the court for 7 minutes. He didn't score in that time. And then Amir Coffey barely saw the court for a couple of seconds. So other than Norman Powell, I would say it was a bit of a disappointing output from the bench for the Clippers. As for the Timberwolves, they were led by Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell. They combined for 59 points, with Edwards, the sophomore, leading the way. He had 30 in 37 minutes, and he was 10 of 21 from the field, 5 of 11 from beyond the arc. He was just on fire in this game. He was really fired up, especially at the beginning of the game. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And he had a couple of clutch plays down the stretch in the fourth quarter, including that dunk and a three-pointer as well. And then they got 29 from D'Angelo Russell. He was also clutch in the end. He played 37 minutes in this game. He was very efficient, 10 of 18 from the field, 3 of 5 from beyond the arc. I mean, if Russell is going to be scoring like this in the playoffs, this is just a totally different team. Throughout the season, he shot like 42% from the field overall, but this is like above and beyond what you would expect from Russell. And he has proven in the past, when he was especially with the Brooklyn Nets, to be a clutch player in tense situations. So, like I said, if they could rely on D'Angelo Russell to provide this sort of offensive value, he is absolutely going to be a game changer for them. But I just wouldn't necessarily bet the house on him to be putting up numbers quite like this on a regular basis in the playoffs. But we shall see. I would love to be proven wrong. He was +12 in the plus minus, which was a starter's high. And he also had 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and 3 steals. And then Karl-Anthony Towns had 11 points only in 24 minutes. He was really disappointing in this game. Just 3 of 11 from the field, 0 of 2 from beyond the arc. He got in foul trouble early on. He couldn't believe it when he got his fourth foul. And then eventually he fouled out of the game in the fourth quarter. And yeah, he just ended up with 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 4 turnovers. Really disappointing game for Towns once again. He was not great in his first stint in the playoffs in 2018 or 2019, whenever that was, with Jimmy Butler. And he was not great in this game either. So we'll see if he looks any different in the actual playoffs, but not a good start for Towns. He was also negative 14 in the plus minus, which was a team low. Then they got 7 points from Patrick Beverley. He was only 2 of 8 from the field, but like I said, he had a couple of clutch hustle plays in the fourth quarter. He had 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. And then 3 points only for Jared Vanderbilt in 27 minutes. He was playing really solid defense, though, especially on Paul George. He had 10 rebounds, 1 assist, and that was it in the box score for Vanderbilt. But off the bench for the Timberwolves, they got 12 points from Malik Beasley in 28 minutes. He was 4 of 8 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 6 rebounds. They got 8 points from the backup big man, Naz Reid. He was playing crunch time down the stretch after Karl-Anthony Towns went out of this game. He played 21 minutes overall. He was 3 of 7 from the field. He had 4 rebounds. He was plus 17 in the plus-minus, which was by far the team high. And then they also got 6 points from Jaden McDaniels in 23 minutes. He had 3 rebounds, 2 steals, and 3 points from Jalen Noel in 9 minutes. And Josh Okogie just saw the court briefly, but he did not score in that time. So once again, really impressive win for the Timberwolves here, and we'll see how they look matched up against the Memphis Grizzlies. But anyways, that will do it for our box score breakdown. We can now move on. Well, normally we would move on to fantasy at this point, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. But fantasy is done, so we will skip that. It would have been Kyrie Irving anyways. So we can move on now to our preview for tonight, Wednesday, April the 13th. And once again, we've got 2 games on in the NBA tonight. It is the second 2 games of the play-in tournament. We've got the 9-10 matchup in the Eastern Conference with the Atlanta Hawks taking on the Charlotte Hornets. And then we've got the 9-10 matchup in the Western Conference with the San Antonio Spurs taking on the New Orleans Pelicans. And we've already actually previewed this matchup, or both of these matchups, on yesterday's show, Tuesday, April the 12th. We went through all 4 of the play-in matchups. So I'm just going to run through this briefly. It's going to be the Atlanta Hawks -5 at home versus the Hornets. And then the Pelicans are favored against the Spurs. They are -5.5. And yesterday we did our best bets. We took the Clippers, which already is a loss, but we also took the Spurs. And I think at the time it was +5. So we've actually got an extra half point, which isn't necessarily a good sign. It means most people are going with the Pelicans. So going against the grain here, taking the Spurs, but I just think that they can at the very least keep it close. And then we've stayed away from the Atlanta Hawks and Charlotte Hornets matchup from a betting perspective, just because 2 really high-powered offensive teams, you never know what could happen. The Hornets just could catch absolute fire. Terry Rozier and LaMelo Ball and Kelly Oubre could knock down like 15 three-pointers and easily win this game. So we're going to stay away from that one, and we're going to take the Spurs now +5.5 against the Pelicans. And if you want to hear a full preview of those 2 games, check out yesterday's show on Tuesday, April the 12th. We broke down all 4 of the initial planned game matchups. So we will recap those 2 games tomorrow, and then we will preview the Friday matchups with the LA Clippers taking on the winner of the Spurs Pelicans and the Cleveland Cavaliers taking on the winner of the Hawks Hornets. So anyways, that will just about do it for us today. So thank you so much for tuning in. And if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. And like I said, we'll be back tomorrow to recap all that action and preview what's to come on Friday. So until then, thanks for tuning in.